Today we're talking about the big one, John 3:16. You all know it, right? Let's hear it. Shout it out. What's he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know that one, right? How can I possibly expand on this one? This is the crazy one. I remember the first time I saw this. I was a freshman in college, you know, and it was Monday night football. And, well, you know, it was Monday night, so, you know, we had to have a few beers, right? You were in college, Jerry. Remember those days? No, we weren't. We kind of forgot them, didn't we, right? But we remember those days. It was Monday night football. Remember in the end zone of the football games, there'd be that crazy guy with the rainbow afro, and he had to sign John 3:16. You know, he looked kind of stupid doing that with the crazy, but he brought attention to himself, didn't he? And it was John 3:16, and we were all asking, you know, well, what does it say? Does anyone know what it is? And none of us knew. But one of the kids had a Bible, believe it or not, in college, in the most secular place in the world, right? I went to a liberal arts college. God was so far removed from that campus, you know, and I wasn't a believer yet. I was, you know, churchy, but not a believer. I had not given my heart to Jesus yet. And so someone looked it up and was like, huh, that's pretty, and you know what, you never lose it, because we all did it together in a room full of unbelievers, watching football, drinking beer, and checking out John 3:16 all on the same night, you know, and so we knew who it was. Everyone knows this, and we hear this, and you know, people got t-shirts with it or a bracelet, and maybe it seems kind of overused or cliche, but it sure isn't, is it? It sure isn't. You know, it deserves another look. And I'm way out of order. Because we were talking about Jesus just last week. You know, 2 weeks ago, he went up to Caesarea Philippi. He took his disciples away and he said, you got to understand, it's been 3 years. Who am I? Who do you think I am? And some people think he's Isaiah, or think he's Ezekiel, or think he's John the Baptist. But he asked that big question, and which he asked each and every one of us today. Slow down, Sean. Who do you say I am? And Peter knows. He says, you're the Christ. He says, you know what? I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to die. It's time. I've gotten too big. There's nothing else to do. I've fed 5,000. I've fed 4,000. I've raised the dead 3 or 4 times. I've done it all, and people still don't get it. There's only one thing they're going to understand. They want a sign. Everybody wants a sign. Can you prove it? He goes, I'll give you a sign. And you better know your Bibles when I tell you what it is. I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. You better have read it. You better know what it says. And that's where we are today. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's going on his way to die. But this story is kind of out of order. This is John 3. He's not on his way to die. He's just starting his ministry. He went up to Cana. And there he turned the water into wine. He saved a couple of teenagers from embarrassment. On the best day of their lives, they did not run out of wine because of the presence of Jesus. And there's more to that. Then the next day, he's headed towards Jerusalem. And there he's there for the Passover for the first time. And there he turns over the tables, and we see that scene where he throws the whip around, and people think he's lost his mind. And in the midst of this, they're learning who he is, and here's what it says. Let's get to the scripture. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs that he was performing, and they believed in him. But he would not entrust himself to them because he knows people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Do more signs, Jesus. Do it. Show them who you are. You've done some of those things. You've healed people and you've fed people. Do it. Say who you are. He goes, it's not time. It's not time to do it yet. Because I know you. You're big fans today. What have you done for me lately? We see that right after he leaves the mountain with all those people. Like, can you heal? Heal one more time, he says, you unbelieving generation. I'll heal, but what are you going to do when I'm gone? And there's a man there, a powerful man, a man whose name you know. There was a man named Nicodemus. And he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus the night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you were doing if God were not with him. To be a Pharisee was a big thing. What you wanted to do as a Pharisee, these were called the separate ones. These weren't priests, and these weren't the Sadducees, the rulers of the temple, but these were people who in each and every town or in every synagogue, they would be these men who called the Pharisees. And they dedicated their lives to observing every single detail of the law. The law is pretty simple, isn't it? It's 10 simple rules, isn't it? Oh no. We need more than that, don't we? We need what does it mean to do this? And so they would try to explain it. There would be 24 chapters on how to explain what the Sabbath was. It took one rabbi 2.5 years to get through it, just to figure out what work is. It was burdensome. So this man named Nicodemus, he knew the law, and he should have known Scripture, right? Here's what I'm going to focus on a little bit. He should have known what he's been reading all this time. If we see unrest in the Middle East, you all need to know what it all means for us in the future. And how are you going to find that out? You're going to read it for yourself. Right, Diane? Right, Joey? In class? Right, Jim and Dorothy? Read it for yourself. You can. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. We'll put one in your hands. Read it for yourself. What does it say? And this man, Nicodemus, should know what it says about the coming Messiah, about this one who's going to suffer, about this one who's going to talk about water and the Spirit. He should know these things. He's the smart one, and he doesn't quite understand. But he comes at night. We know what happens at night. Anything good happen at night? Anytime you read the Cecil Wig, right, there's usually 2 or 3 things that happen at 2:30 in the morning. Anything good happen at 2:30 in the morning? Nothing good. That's when we tow trucks, right? That's when we tow cars, right, Paula? Nothing good happens after midnight. Last night it was 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, and I said, it's actually 10:00, honey, and we got to leave this party. She's like, so we did the Irish exit, right? Y'all do that? I'm the pro. You need to see some moves. Watch me go. I'm like a ghost, a ninja, and I'm just gone, you know? Whew, smooth. It's the only thing I do smooth. What a great party for a young man surrounded by all his friends congratulating him. And he's got a cast. He doesn't do it on his own. He's got help. 1 million. They send him free boots all the time. Free work clothes, free car parts. I got to decide which one I'm going to put my name on. Isn't that cool? I wish Men's Warehouse would sponsor me. That'd be cool. Or Costco. I can get more of that chicken dip. So Jesus, he's talking with this man named Nicodemus, who's very well educated. He's a part of the Sanhedrin, part of that 72 men that determined the laws and rules of the Jewish nation that the people highly respected. But he says, you know, Rabbi, he calls him respectfully, teacher, esteemed one. You've been performing these signs, and clearly God is with you. He didn't ask a question there, did he? What's the question? And Jesus says, verily, truly, I tell you. King James Version says, verily, verily. We don't use that word anymore, so this is a new translation. It means, very truly, I tell you. Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And how can someone be born when they are old, asked Nicodemus. Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born. You know, before I became a believer, and I used to make fun of you crazy Christians, you know, and I thought everyone would say this born again thing, and you know, you're all kind of crazy. Now, I'm one of you now. I thought you choir people were crazy. Now I can't wait to sing with you again. I thought preachers were, who wants to be a preacher? Not me. Here we are, right? Things change in circumstances, and goodness gracious. People say, are you born again? Oh, you're crazy. Oh, am I born? Oh, yeah. I've been saved like 50 times. Every time they ask you if you're saved at every rally. Right, Bert? Every time there's a rally on a three-day weekend, another altar call. Going to go get saved again today. Got to lead the people up there, right? Every time I went to the youth rally. How many times did I get saved at the youth rally? I've been saved. I'm born again so many times. I'm not mocking it, please. But how can someone be born again? Don't you see? Jesus says, and Nicodemus, with all his education, he goes, "This doesn't make sense. I don't understand. He has a refusal to understand. And you know what he's missing is, you know, he's Nicodemus. Don't forget that. He's a Pharisee. He knows what the books say. He knows what the prophets say. He knows what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel says in chapter 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart. A new spirit I will put in you, and I will remove your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. He knows this. Excuse me, goodness. He knows what it says, and he doesn't want to understand it from this guy. He doesn't want it from Jesus. You know, he wants it because he's there. He's in the presence of God, and he wants to understand. But his heart's too hard. He's too logical. He knows what the old books, if he associates with this guy, he'll get kicked out of the synagogue too. Next week, we're going to talk about the man born blind. His parents were afraid to get kicked out of the synagogue because they knew that Jesus healed their son, and they didn't want to admit it. He healed their son of blindness, and they didn't want to admit it. His son was giving back his life, and it was too scary to say to them, we believe in this Jesus. He didn't want it. And Jesus says, listen, very truly, I tell you again, he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of the water, born of the Spirit. We know that flesh gives birth to flesh, but this is different. And you should know this, Nicodemus. The Spirit, which hovered over the earth in Genesis 1, hovered before anything began. He was always there, hovering. And then with a word, there was light. And it was separated from the darkness, and the land from the sea, and the sky from the dirt. And it was all created in the heavens and the stars and the moons were all hung up there with the Spirit. He said, you should not be surprised when I say you must be born again. Don't you understand? He says, when the wind blows wherever it pleases, doesn't it? We hear the wind. We don't see the wind, do we? We feel its effects. We know we can fly a kite when it's blowing. We know that the trees sway and the birds fly. I mean, they have the wind, but you can hear it, but you don't know where it comes from. What makes it? Jesus says. Same thing with the Spirit. You won't know what it is until you feel it. You can't explain it, can I? I can't explain this gift. I can't explain it, but you'll know it when you have it. You got to pray for me today. You're all going to pray. You listen up. At 3 o'clock, I got a young couple getting married. And then this is their first. I tell them, I'm not a counselor. Counselor takes training, right, Bert? I'm just going to give them my testimony and show them how the service may go according to how they want it to go. But I am not a counselor. I can tell you what works for me. I can tell you all the mistakes I made. Don't do those, you know. Don't go to Costco without a list. They have 10-pound rabbits at Costco. Chocolate. 10 pounds, Paula. You want to see the picture of it? I took a picture. It's in my phone. Okay, if you're on a diet, they got the 4.4 pounder. That's a little one. And they got little 6 ounces too. You know, but 10 pounds. It's so tempting. I mean, he'd be a fool. He'd be like losing money not buying it, right? And you get tires and a rabbit and new clothes and shrimp and chicken dip. How can this be? He doesn't get it. How can I be changed through this? I don't understand. You're Israel's teacher, Jesus says, and yet you don't understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. This is true, right? But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I spoke to you of earthly things, and you don't believe. And how can I speak of heavenly things then? How are you going to believe those things, he says? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we love that verse. But I'm a Bible nerd, and I can't resist an time to educate you, Joey. You know that. Because what's it say right before it? Got to tell that story. Sorry, I'm going to go over, but I got to tell this story today. It's going to make me crazy if I don't. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We know what lifted up means. It means to be raised up on a cross. But what's this snake thing? No one told me about that. Nobody told me about that at Wharton University, right, in my liberal arts degree. You see, back in Numbers 21, the people, believe it or not, were disobedient. Can you believe it? Surprise, surprise. They weren't obedient. They weren't listening to God. They were complaining. So God sent a curse amongst them. Venomous snakes through the camps. Ooh, who likes snakes? I hate snakes. My mom's got a basement, dirt basement, and the black snakes, we have a black snake breeding program at my mother's house, you know, and they are thick, you know, like a sewer pipe, you know, I hate this way snakes move. It's like they have no legs, but they're over here, and then they got, you know what I mean? Like Sabrina Carpenter, you ever see her? She's like, and they move, and they should be destroyed. So all the venomous snakes are going through the camp and they're biting everyone. The people, of course, now they want to talk to God. God, get us out of this situation. So Moses goes to God and says, can we get these people? They're repenting now. They understand they made a mistake. The snakes are coming through. They complain there's no bread, and they complain there's no water, and they hate this food. And the snakes are coming, and many, many died. But the Lord said to Moses, make a snake. Make it out of bronze and put it up on a pole and raise it up high and lift it up where everyone can see it. If you look at that snake, you will be healed. Did the power come from the snake? No. It came from looking up and believing in what God has done, that God can heal. And this, Jesus says the same thing. Just like, don't you remember, you're the teacher of Israel there, Nicodemus. You know this story. And they're going to take me. And they're going to put me up there too, to be crucified, to be beaten, to hang like that snake. And if you look at me, you'll be saved. You'll be saved by the man that hangs on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love your word. We love to hear John 3:16. It gives us pleasure to read it, and it gives us hope, and it's a promise. And we know that it starts with you, that you say, God made the first move. Why are bad things happening to me? But where is God? He's not here. And God says, no, I'm here. I'm offering everything to you. Take my hand. Take the bread when I offer it. Take the wine when I offer it. Know that you can be born of the Spirit. You can be born anew. I will put in you a new heart. I will take out your heart of stone. I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. The Spirit will come upon you. You will be saved. Look up to the cross. Look up, and what do you see? You see my Son given for you in your place. He took your place on the cross. You believe in him. You accept him. Make that personal decision, and you will have eternal life. The things of this world will pass away. There will be discomfort and there will be suffering. When will it end? We don't know. We can't predict it. If someone tells you they know, they are false. Only the Father knows. The Son doesn't know. We wait on the Father to make the decision when this happens. And we pray mightily each and every day for peace in the world, for all the peoples. For the people who don't believe what we believe, we pray for them to come see the light, that there is no one who is irredeemable. All are worthy of life. All are made in God's image, that all are worthy of saving. We pray for the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do this. Amen. Amen.